And now for reading and writing and radio.
Come to order. I'm going to read the roll call, and I'd like you to answer a little differently today. Instead of saying here or present, I would like you to answer with an interesting noise. Now, does that seem like fun? Well, whether it does or not, this is the way we're going to do it. Let's start with Marie Akers.
Ah, shoot!
Donna Arston.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Jean Blackman.
Brap, brap, brap.
Carolyn Broadhead.
Mary Jane Brown.
Barbara Kearney.
Oh.
Richard Clark.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Therese Clark. Rose Corgan. Now, please, let's take this seriously. Jane Ford.
Yeah.
Steve Furman.
I need a towel now.
Use your sleeve, man.
Vicki Glasscock.
Ding dong.
School's out.
Leona Hacker.
Arf.
Pamela Hanfland.
Yahoo!
Let's go.
Anne Lindvall. Marjorie Mayo. Kathy Pettyjohn.
She's playing hooky.
She's
and
not here.
What about Suzanne Pettyjohn?
She's with her.
Well,
yeah.
Well, we'll get to them. We'll get on to them later. Now, Connie Schneider.
Beep, beep.
And I think that is it.
Can we go home now?
That group of silly students are your teachers, but they could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Teachers, those were very nice noises, all of you, very imaginative, except for a few that I could mention. I want you to remember that in this class you are students and not teachers. Now, last year in Reading and Writing and Radio, the students told you what they thought about you in two programs, one about teachers and one about Time Capsule, where they warned the children next year of what they could expect from their teachers. Now, this is your turn to talk about students.
Yay!
So,
All of today's athletic contests will be played as scheduled unless we make a further announcement to the contrary. Thank you.
Well, as I was saying, the topic today is students, and you can tell us about some memorable student you have known or
I
what you...
I need to go to the bathroom.
Marie, school has just begun. Why didn't you go before you came in? Well, very well. Go ahead.
Thank you.
You had your button on, Marie.
Some memorable student or a student that you remember for good or ill or a pet peeve in a student or some student you have enjoyed or some classmate of yours when you were a student. Let's hear about students today.
Hey, teacher, I want to tell you why I was late this morning.
Well, Leona, is this the time?
Well, it won't take very long.
Well, all right, please, go ahead quickly.
Well, you see, I figured the first hour we'd just clean house, and I wasn't going to clean up all Rose's messes, especially after she'd spent the whole summer here.
I think, Leona, that that's maybe worthy of a detention, but I'll talk to you at recess time.
Well, Dad, there's more to the story.
Well, let's not have any more of it for right now. What we want to do right now is to hear about students. Does somebody have something to say about students?
Oh, have we ever.
All right, now here is Bob Kearney.
Where would I start?
Just start at the beginning and go ahead.
Well, how about the new dog, or the mad dog that came to school one day, climbed up the stairs and planted himself right in my classroom.
Was he a student?
He was a wonderful student, and that was the best my kids ever were, because they didn't dare move, because the minute anyone moved, he went,
nice going. We all need a dog.
Who's got another story?
I wonder about how they think we look as teachers. I always had one student that I thought I was doing such a good job teaching reading because he looked right at my face, he watched my mouth for vowel sounds, and I got through the lesson and he said, "Mrs. Limbaugh, you have orange lipstick all over your teeth."
I've got a story.
Therese Clark?
Having to do with sounds, I always try to emphasize with second graders that they be able to sometimes they sound it out. Now, what is the first letter? What's the second one? So one day, this boy and I were writing a language experience story, and he was dictating to me, and he said, "Last night, me and my mom made shrinky dinks." I said, "Gee, how do we spell shrinky dinks?" "Mrs. Clark, sound it out. What's the first sound?" I found out later that he told his mother Mrs. Clark didn't know how to spell.
Excuse the interruption, but bus 13 will be late today.
All right.
Nobody rides bus 13 in this school, teacher.
Then we can just ignore the announcement.
Maybe we should worry about those that are on the bus. My cousin, I think, once rode that bus.
The topic is students. Has someone...
Isn't he a student?
What?
But isn't her cousin a student?
Her cousin is a student, but we want stories about students.
Johnny, quit pulling my hair.
I have one I can tell you.
Okay, Connie Schneider, would you tell us a story about a student?
My very first day in Auburn, I came in the middle of the year and I took the place of a very cute little first-year teacher. And this was the old war horse coming in now. So the very first day, I see a little note go across, and I picked it up, and I looked at it, and it said, "Our teacher is a witch." And witch was spelled wrong. So I said, "You stay in for recess." So he came up, and I said, "Look, if you're going to write notes in my class, you're going to learn how to spell the words right." And I said, "You look up how to spell witch, and go back and write me 10 sentences with the word witch in it spelled correctly."
And was one of them...
Yes. And one of the sentences as he got down the line was, "My teacher is very nice. My teacher is not a witch. I don't think my teacher is a witch."
Nice.
Oh. Well, I remember the first year that I was teaching, I always liked to dress up for my kids. And I always wear eye makeup. And one of my boys walked up to me and he said, "Mrs. Mayo, my mother says that ladies who wear that stuff on their eyes aren't nice ladies."
The best...
Dick Clark, would you like to speak?
Yes. The best excuse for being tardy was given to me by a little boy years ago.
Oh, it's another one of those blasted announcements.
Your attention, please. All of today's athletic contests still will be played as scheduled unless we make a further announcement to the contrary. Thank you again. Anyway, yes, as I was saying, this little boy was tardy to class, so I asked him why he was tardy, and he told me, he was a short little kid, you know, with a freckled face and the crew cut and all that, and he said he was walking against the wind, and that was, I thought that was about the best excuse I'd ever heard, but I thought, well, how about those other kids? They were walking against the wind, too. They got here.
Maybe they were bigger. Maybe they were heavier.
But I don't know, it was about the most original excuse I've heard.
You must hear lots of excuses as teachers.
Okay, one thing I like about kids are the kids who get enthused about the same thing that I get enthused about. And I've been taking lots of classes lately, and so one day last year I was just filling those kids full of all these wonderful things and telling them what I really had learned and what I wanted them to do. And all of a sudden, little Christy put her hand up and she said, "Mrs. Akers, are you all right?"
We all wish your answer.
I thought I was.
The week before Christmas in our class is usually sometimes pretty hectic, and little Billy just wouldn't sit still for me this one. Billy just wouldn't behave. I had to be on him all week long. Came the day for our Christmas party, my daughter got sick, and I had to stay home with my daughter. And late that afternoon, I got a phone call from Billy, and on the phone he said, "Mrs. Arfston, we really missed you at the party. It just wasn't the same without you." I wonder a day later, what exactly did he mean?
One day in one of my college prep English classes, I noticed how listless everyone was, and I gave them a nice lecture on eating breakfast. I said, "That's the way to start the day, and you'll do much better at school." And they all complained that they just didn't have time, their mothers wouldn't fix them breakfast. And I said, "Well, I always fix my family breakfast." Saturday morning, my entire class showed up for breakfast at my house.
How did you meet the crisis? Did you?
Well, my husband went out the back door into the store, and food was a little cheaper back then, and we had pancakes and scrambled eggs and bacon and sausage and toast. And they decided that they'd come every morning.
Well, I think we might hold.
We meet next time. Let's
have breakfast at Carolyn Broadhead's house.
Your attention, please. It's been rumored that some classes are ignoring the announcements. Please do not ignore the announcements. Thank you.
That don't mean anything anyway.
I have this story I want to tell. I have this little boy
Leona
in my
Hacker
room.
Is telling us.
Is it better than your excuse for being late?
It really is.
The other one is talking much.
Make it brief.
He was trying so hard to get his work done and kept going by his desk to make him get to work. And finally he came up to my desk and he said, "Mrs. Hacker, you're just working too hard."
I have to tell a story about something I don't do, but another teacher does. She puts out this little sign that says CLOSED, closed. Now, if you see that in a store, what does it mean? They're not open for business. You can't go in. Okay, good. Where is this sign right now? On your desk. Oh, what does that mean? You're closed for business. Good. Don't bother me.
I want to tell you about the class I had that was the best class for following directions I ever had.
Tell us about it, Jean.
Okay. The first year I was teaching, I taught first grade, and I was going to show them how to print a word on the board. And I picked up my chalk, and I said, "Okay, everybody do it exactly like I do it." And I forgot that I am left-handed, and I turned around, and about 9 kids were writing with their left hand, and it took me a whole week to find out who really was left-handed.
And there was 13 the next day that
teacher,
all
teacher, you always let her talk.
She's yes. A braggart anyway.
Leona's teacher's pet.
So please, Leona, take your turn. All right, now.
Well, if I don't say it, nobody else will.
Who hasn't?
No further announcements will be made unless the further announcements are of an emergency nature. Thank you.
That was worthless. Why is he wasting our time?
Is there some student who has not yet had a chance to tell about her students or his?
Can we talk again?
Mrs. Corgan, Rose, have you had a chance to talk?
No, I haven't, and I think
we want everyone to have their chance.
I'd like my chance.
In this classroom.
I will take a chance.
Almost took a chance.
Please, would you come and be quiet down so that Rose can have her chance?
Thank you. The best excuse I've ever had for not handing in homework was,
My dog ate it. And if you don't have a better excuse than that, I don't want to hear it.
I have a better one. My student said the airplane came down real low next to his window and blew it out the window.
But my dog did eat my son's homework many a time. She ate everything.
I had a little boy who had a goat who ate his homework last year.
I don't know how they could stand their
homework. How about eating their own homework? Has anyone ever eaten his or her own homework? You know, like destroying the evidence?
I'd like to acknowledge that Jimmy Jones and Jack Johnson and Ray Farley all cleaned off their tables during the lunch period today, and they really did a good job.
Hooray! Oh, yes. Yay! Now that was not an emergency nature, and I think we ought to get that machine turned off.
I do too.
Somebody. How is our subject coming? Have we run out of stories? Over here. Oh, yes. Mary Jane Brown. She's so quiet, we hardly know she's in the room.
When I first was hired to teach in this school, I had taught in a lot larger school, and I began to teach about the review of the library and using the Reader's Guide. And when I gave the assignment for the students to go down to use the Reader's Guide in the Media Center, I found that the librarian had no storage, and they did not keep any of the magazines, so I had to cancel the assignment.
Oh, that was terrible.
How old do our students really think we are? One time doing a bulletin board on the first Thanksgiving, I was asked what I wore that day.
Share our pet peeves.
Oh, yes. Do you have a pet peeve about students?
Yes. They always want to tip those chairs over. And instead of sitting on all four, or I say six legs, because they've got two in the chair, four, they always want to tip their chair over. And I try to explain every year how when you tip your chair over, you might hit your head on the desk and really have concussion or really very serious accident. It never fails. I've already had two fall off their chair this year. They just won't listen.
How old are they?
Fourth graders.
They're old enough to know better.
That's what I tell them.
Well, I still tip my chair and have fallen over on occasion, so I think it's a good thing for teachers to know that. I mean, like a parent should spill her milk every so often so that she remembers how it is. Yes, Ann Linville.
I want to tell what I like about my students. I like the students that think of me as a person as well as a teacher. Sometimes yes. They're really surprised mm-hmm. when I show up in a grocery store or mm-hmm. go to the bathroom mm-hmm. or have hobbies or children or pets. Mm-hmm. And I like the students that take time to know that I'm a real person too underneath that teacher.
Some of them think I have a cot in the back where I sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. Never out of the room. Oh. Here is Vicki Glassman. Glasscock, yes.
I think we all enjoy, you know, attention from our students. And being short, I always have to have some of my tall sixth graders help me put things up. And especially my first year, when I had some very tall boys, they would have to help me find things and to put things up high for me, especially artwork. And at the end of the year, they awarded me with a leg stretcher so that I might grow.
That's cute.
That's
neat. I've got something to add to that. One day we had a half-day workshop. And we were sitting down in the teacher's lounge, and here were these two little kindergartners peering through the windows, and one of them said, you know, that's where they sleep and eat down there, you know.
Well, now, has everyone in this class had a chance to say something about students?
Did you say anything?
No, you were talking earlier about excuses, and the other set of inventive excuses is why you stayed home the previous day, not lost your homework, but stayed home. I had a student one year, when I started teaching, came in with an excuse one day. Please excuse Charles. He was sick yesterday, signed my mother, and he never did figure out why we knew that it was a picture.
I have heard that one before, yes? I've heard that before. That's
well, now we've all had a chance to talk.
Teacher, you didn't talk.
Yeah. Oh, I will tell you then. About
this is the last immediate emergency final concluding announcement. There will be no more announcements. Thank you.
Do I get to talk now?
You can.
I heard an interview over the radio by a man named Barry Rose, who is the director of the Cathedral Choir of St. Paul's, London. And these choirs are male choirs, and the sopranos are little boys. And by little boys, I mean little, 5, 6, 7 years old. They have to recruit these little boys who stay with the choir till their voice changes at 13. And this interview was in the middle of a program of the singing. It was during the intermission. And they asked Barry Rose how he recruited these little boys for the choir. And he said, well, first of all, they have to have beautiful singing voices. And so they have songs that they sing, and this is one, the main determinant. But next, he says, they have to have be able to read some music and have some musical ability to go with the voice. He said, and then they have to go and be tested at the school to be sure that they can keep up in their schoolwork. And he said, but when all is said and done, if they've got the voice and they've got some musical ability and they can keep up in the schoolwork, I make my decision on bright eyes. And that struck me so, because what I really care about people is if they have bright eyes, because that shows they're interested and alert and lively. And I think the one thing that bothers me the most about students or about anybody is boredom. When the world is so filled with a million things and so much going on, not to have bright eyes. So there is my contribution to the story about students.
Well, that's what one of my little girls said this year, that school was so
your
bright.
Attention, please. Her eyes were so bright when she all said of it.
Oh, I forgot to give them an assignment, and now they're all gone, and there's no calling them back. I know. I'll give it to all of you that are listening to Reading and Writing and Radio. What to write about? Well, you're all students, so how about writing about yourselves? How do you see yourself as a student? How do you think your teacher sees you? When have you tried your teacher's patience? When has she or he been proud of you, or especially glad to have you in the class? Or write us about one of your classmates as a student. Another idea. You've all of you been teachers at one time or another. You've taught somebody to tie shoelaces or to ride a bike or to draw something or how to make a bubble with bubble gum. Sometimes you've even taught grown-ups. I learn from kids all the time. My own kids think I'm pretty dumb often, not too swift in catching on. But if other kids think so, they're more polite. So what sort of teacher have you been? What sort of student did you have? And how successful was your lesson? Ah, here's a final idea. Figure out something that you could teach to your class and then persuade your teacher to let you try teaching it. See what it's like to have a class full of students and how successfully you can put your ideas or skills across. There, that ought to hold you, right?
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.